Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello. First up, thank you to Bits for listening in. I love you for it. If you could rate, review and subscribe and find someone to tell about the podcast online or even directly into their human fleshy face, I would love you all the more for that. And if you've got any spare money to your name, I am trying to fund the growth and continuation of this dear podcast on a site called Patreon. It's where people can give even a few dollars a month swapped for presents, including very exclusive free content and other gubbins like that. If you might be up for that, please do go to patreon.com/ The Hoovering Pod. If you are already my patron, please may I just say thank you so much, mate. You are the tits. Last little bore-off announcement, but we're doing our first ever Hoovering Live. It's in Manchester on the 6th of October at lunchtime. Bring a picnic, we've got amazing guests, they'll be eating and laughing at the Manchester Podcast Festival.com. More on that later though. Let's get on with the good shit. This week's guest is an absolute big whopper on the fame front. Please, it's only blooming Rachel Riley. What? We met in her lovely home and ate an entire table full of fit salads and dips, pretty much all of which homemade. She's had some seriously fun and seriously awful times on the eating front in the past and present. She's overcome massive health stuff and you'll never guess which animals pecker she's seen.
This is exciting.
Okay. Which is also my breakfast, by the way.
Oh, is it? This is brunch. Now we're talking. Half one brunch.
Right. Do you like stuff properly cooked or are you...
Not fussy. Halfway done is absolutely fine.
Yeah, I'm a little bit impatient.
Yeah, me too. Actually, a little bit impatient is probably... I can imagine my... Anyone that knows me very well listening to this and get screaming a little bit impatient. I'm very impatient.
Et voila. Thank you for the
wow. Reason. Well, thank you for everything.
So what's this stuff?
Okay, so it's like a pinto bean dip. So there's this cookbook called The Thugs Cookbook. Have you heard of it? Mm-mm. It's all vegan. It's really good. Except it's, I don't know who it's written for. So the cookbook itself is brilliant in that all the recipes are really good and they're easy and they're well described. Yeah. But it's like it's written to try and coax 13-year-old lads into cooking and vegan cooking, because it's all like, now stick a fucking this on a shitting that. And like, it's really, it's written really aggressively and full of swearing. Okay. So it's like, I'm not sure.
Who wrote it?
I can't remember his name. That's really bad.
Some bloke.
Some bloke. Definitely some bloke. Imagine, actually, if I go back and it's written by, like, a group of lovely women. Could be. It could be me being a massive sexist. No, I think it's written by some lads.
Nice.
But the recipes in it are really good. Yeah. And it's all supposed to be healthy, and it's their kind of healthy version of refried beans, basically.
Nice.
Yeah. What have you done?
I've done salad and guacamole, and then I was like, that looks a bit crap, so I've also done potato salad.
It looks amazing. How have you done a vegan potato salad?
Oh, veganaise.
Just veganaise?
Veganaise.
Straight
amazing.
Up veganaise, or one of those variants now?
There's a new one that I just found. I hadn't seen the alioli one. Aioli?
Oh, so in Spain, like, they did call it alioli, and I got corrected.
Oh, well, we'll go with whatever. Yeah. That and the sriracha. So it's mixture.
The sriracha ones mingled them.
So I do the veg boxes. And since I started doing that, I'm now obsessed with veg boxes.
Nice.
So basically whatever I get in the box, we get to eat.
That is so cool though. What veg box do you do?
Which one do you do?
Riverford. Yeah.
Riverford is amazing.
I've never had it, but is it true that they come with like a leaflet that's quite vitriolic in a good way, but about where the man's got, you know, sourced his veg from?
Yes, but I love it. Yeah. The last one was talking about how they're trying to cut down on plastic.
Great.
And they use like less than 25% of what you get in supermarkets, and they're going to replace all the plastic with compostable stuff.
Oh,
and
wow.
If you can't compost it because you live in London, you haven't got compost or whatever, you just send it back to them and they'll compost it. So
brilliant.
It's just kind of smart things. Mm-hmm. And I quite like it because it connects you with where the food's from, and you don't
so
think
cool.
about where it's grown or what's used to grow it, blah, 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 blah,
I
blah.
Think if you, it feels so...
Shall I give you some... Yeah, some salad?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think...
Taste it and then you'll be converted.
Oh, my God, that looks lush. Thank you so much. Oh,
the leaves
herby.
Are the best.
Yum. Thank you. That's brilliant.
But I like it because you haven't got to carry stuff either.
No.
It's
yeah,
the lazy
that's
person.
True.
You haven't got to choose what you want. You haven't got to carry it home.
Do they do a thing where you can veto certain things that you don't like?
Yeah, you can pick what you like. You can do the big box, the little box, the sub box, or you can just pick the individual things. And it's all kind of organic, and you can do stuff that's in season.
Oh, nice.
So
you can be really ethical about it.
And you can, if you want, you can just do the UK or most of it, the rest of it's kind of Europe, and you can do whatever level you want to, really. And it does meat and dairy and all that stuff as well if you want it.
Yeah.
It sends you a little recipe that I never look at.
and this is their smoked hummus, actually.
It's nice.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I'm going to
try
that for sure.
I like it.
In fact, I think I'm just going to try all the things. Let's not muck about.
Avocado is definitely not from the UK, but they taste good, so well.
Yeah.
You can't be good all the time.
Can't be good all the time. Not at all. And I think it's that... I do a veg box, a veg and fruit box called Odd Box that does. I bang on about it on this podcast all the time, so... Sorry anyone who's listening, bored of hearing about them, but... similar deal, like you don't have to think about it, you can have it every week or every fortnight.
Yeah.
God, that looks so creamy and yummy. That is guacamole that has been made by someone with patience. You said you don't have patience, but
that is
so creamy.
They were just ripe, they were good.
Did you use it in a whizzer or did
no,
you?
No, they were just that smooth, so they're probably.
Oh,
I mean,
yum.
I only bought them a couple of days ago, so then it should be good.
Yum. This is perfect, thank you. Yay.
Nice.
But
it's funny, isn't it? Because even it took me a while. I didn't say I was vegan for a while.
No, well, that's the first thing I was going to ask, actually, because you were like, whisper it, I'm a vegan. And I was like, is it a secret that I'm going to ruin?
Well, it's got connotations, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I thought it was weird until recently. And I went the weird way around, so I stopped eating eggs and dairy first.
Okay.
And pretty much just eating meat
and
fish. Fish is my favourite.
Yeah.
But I was quite ill.
Right.
So I had to change my diet quite, like, really substantially.
Oh, no.
Because I was really ill. And for, like, 10 years, it was kind of getting gradually worse. And even when I was 8, I was really ill with food.
Oh, really?
And I almost overnight... I was better, and
really?
For years and years doctors are like, you're probably stressed, you're a stressful personality, and it's like, I've never met you before, what are you on about? It's the easiest thing, because it gets you out of the office, you only got 15 minutes with the doctor.
If you're lucky, I think it's gone down to 9 actually.
Mine.
Lovely. Per ailment, you've got 2 appointments, you've got more than 1 ailment, anyway, so...
It only takes a couple of minutes to tell me you're stressed and get out, but...
Yeah,
but literally overnight, just stopping all this food.
Yeah.
And all the symptoms went away.
Oh, my word.
And then...
But so was it... Well, IBS-y type stuff or immunes type
stuff? Loads of stuff. And it was it was kind of... I was knackered all the time. Yeah. And IBS-y type stuff.
Right.
And, like, you know, you're just quite tired and fuzzy brain.
Yeah.
And loads of other little things. Like, gradually my body got to the point where it was just kind of giving up.
Right.
And I'd get, a cough or a cold and have it for a couple of months.
Oh.
And it's all things that you can't... You can't have a test case of you and not eat different stuff and see if it's still there. And I'm not a stressful person. And then that, actually, the time I stopped eating all the food, I was really stressed.
Right.
Stopped eating the food and all the symptoms went away. So it was like, finally!
Huge siren going off.
Yeah, but I still love pudding. Fine. So then I had to start eating in vegan places to get the pudding.
Right.
And then found out that it's not weird. And you can... Still raw food vegan. I mean, some of it's horrible. Right. You can put it, but some of normal food is horrible.
Yeah, so true.
And watch some of those documents. And when you start looking at what's in stuff.
Like Cowspiracy and stuff like that. That kind of thing. Yeah,
so I stopped eating meat. I was trying to be a vegetarian years ago. I did I did about 6 or 9 months. When I was on Strictly, actually.
Yeah.
And all they were feeding you in studios or wherever you go was the vegetarian option is stodge. It was pasta and cheese and pies and all the stuff that was
and
making me really
ill. Fried stuff
and
baked stuff and yeah.
So I felt awful.
Oh, no.
And going vegan, just eating vegetables,
yeah,
I feel so much better.
Really?
So much better. Yeah.
That's fabulous.
I like
it. Yeah, I feel like we should cheers our tea to that.
But
that's great.
I like it. Yeah, and I kind of did the veganuary for fish because fish was my favourite.
Yeah,
and then didn't actually miss it, even though I ate it pretty much every meal every time you go out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you watch Blue Planet, and you hear about the plastic in the oceans, and we went to the Galapagos on holiday, and you know, you hear about the food chains and even though it's supposed to be sustainable and whatever fishing, loads of countries couldn't give a toss, and they just, you don't really know what you're eating.
No, and even if there are regulations, they're not enforced, and it's so hard, isn't it?
I wouldn't cheat if I was on holiday or something, every now and again.
Why not? Yeah, I mean, if you go somewhere, I think that was my logic in the flexibility of it, actually. By the way, this guacamole is lush.
You like it?
Yeah, it's good. So good. I really love the big chunky tomatoes in it. It is creamy, and I don't believe you that it was effortless.
It was.
So delish. Hello, neighbour banging.
Oh, no. They're starting again.
They seem to be doing that quite gently, almost putting a picture up. Almost a dainty sort of test of putting a picture up to see.
They've been putting a lot of pictures up.
Is it a gallery? Maybe.
Possibly.
It almost sounded polite enough that they were hoping for a knock back. We won't get
it. You know what? When I bought this place, I was showing it on a map to some friends.
Right.
And you know how it shows businesses in the local area?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, where this flat was, it shows some kind of brothel. So maybe it's a headboard. I don't know.
Or literally a knocking shop.
I haven't seen any evidence, but...
You never know, do you?
You look at your neighbours.
What went on before?
Lovely dress.
So I started off going vegan, and I watched Simon Amstel. I had it in mind. Similarly, it was just floating around my mind a lot. Well, I think I had tummy issues that I wasn't particularly aware of or, acknowledging, because they went the same. They went. But I watched Simon Amstel's Carnage. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? It's like a one-hour film.
I need to.
On iPlayer. I assume it's still on iPlayer, and if not, maybe it'll be on Netflix or something. I didn't find it preachy at all. I think that's why it was so brilliant.
So it's world... That's when we're looking in the future and you see it, you think that it's all horrendous what we've been doing with... Or what's the...
Sort of, yeah. So it's very, very lighthearted. It's not in any way. It's totally funny. It just made me laugh for an hour. And then I couldn't stop thinking about it for about a month. It's very knowing. It's set in a utopian future. It's Amstel's version of a utopia where... 99.9% of people have a vegan diet, so the people that get a name for how they eat would be called carnists. So it's why it's called Carnage. So in the one sense, it rips the piss out of what that world would be like, in that it's so hippy-dippy that everyone's extremely squeamish, and everyone's... It's like a rose-tinted vision of Woodstock or something, that kind of... everyone's super kind and affectionate. So okay. It's unrealistic in that sense that it's funny, but it's also very funny in that it takes a mickey out of very early vegan propaganda. And it's got these support groups for people who are in their 60s and older who talk about a childhood where they were still meat and dairy in a way where there's lots of shame attached. And that's very funny, where they, to get it out in the open, they have to say the name of a cheese they might have eaten to
child out loud. Oh, cheese.
It's really funny. Yeah, yes, exactly. But yeah, they that's what swayed me. But then I think what I did, quite a well-trodden version of it, which is to go, oh, just try it and see what it's like, and then loved it and was quite full on with it for about almost a year.
Yeah.
And then I've let some sort of flexibility come back in.
That's good though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think I want to... I say on this that if I went somewhere... If I travelled somewhere where what they made was involved eating a meat that they, as part of their culture or their tradition, that they've and I know how it's been killed, or if I've killed it, I think there are lots of circumstances, but they'd be quite extreme where I would eat meat again. But things like fish and eggs, where I know where they've come from,
yeah,
I'm just
the thing with me is I've got no self-control. So when I was ill and I had a test, and they said, and she said, I don't think, you know, it's food, because your skin's healthy, you're still, you know, you're still living, basically.
Yeah.
And then it came back, and the nutritionist, she called me, and she was like, you're the worst person I've ever seen with one of these results. And I don't know how much of it's like pseudoscience or whatever, but I had a list of 52 things that were making me ill, which was pretty much everything. And when I had that list, I could not eat them, and it was really easy. But as soon as you're like a little bit, oh, I'll just have it here, and then I just kind of go.
All or nothing. Yeah. And I think a health motivation is a huge motivation, right?
It's easier to say to someone, I'm vegan, or I'm intolerant to whatever, than I don't really want to have your biscuits that you're making me eat, or I don't really want that kind of, you know, then you can say it and everyone understands. But otherwise, it's kind of like people try and make you have stuff, or just you're being polite and you're eating things you don't really want to eat.
So true. Having reintroduced an element of flexibility of actually the essays that you have to write when you're describing what you do or don't eat to people.
Just say vegan. Yeah.
And the only reason I stopped saying vegan is because I realised that was offensive to vegans.
You can't win though, can you?
I know, but the people that do it with big kind of politics behind it as well, who think that all dairy and meat is like extreme evil, really.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, I flirt with that. You have to be that or not.
But you know, you can be pragmatic about things. Yeah. Like, it would be good if people cut out a bit of meat because of loads of different reasons, like health, your health,
so
environmental stuff, animal welfare, etc. But I couldn't be like, not, you know, you don't really look at things like you'd go out and you'd have a sandwich or whatever, if it's got mayonnaise in it, you don't know where the mayonnaise is from, where the eggs are from, or like cake, you don't know. Like, I wouldn't ever have bought not a lion stamped egg when I was eating eggs, but I would, you know, eat a slice of cake somewhere, and you haven't actually got a clue where it's from.
No idea where the egg in that came from,
and especially now, I don't know, I guess there's just more information out there, isn't there? And it's like the internet pushes stuff that you've already looked at, and Netflix pushes stuff that you already looked at, and when you know things,
then it's a lot harder. Your bias,
they do, but it's a lot harder to ignore some of it once you know how some things are made. Like, with all the Brexit stuff, I'm getting these emails about, you know, if we've got no EU regulations, we can make our own laws about what food we get from other countries, and America feeds chicken shit to pigs.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Yeah, it's terrifying. A trade deal with America on the food front is absolutely terrifying, I think.
And it's just, we don't know that.
We don't know, I mean, only because of everything and the way it is currently politically with America, it's just very unlikely that we'd get lots of the stuff we take for granted. Like, our food has to say where it's come from on it. We wouldn't have that. We wouldn't wouldn't even necessarily have to say what it's got in it, let alone where it's come from. So frightening!
Food tastes good. I like
it. Yeah, but it's delicious. It's really delicious. Who cares if it was fed on its own shit?
Hello, it's me, in the middle of everything, just butting in, just bumming in, bum butting in, interrupting myself. Just wanted to give you an extra heads up that Hoovering is going to be recording a live show. It's in Manchester on the 6th of October at lunchtime. The guests are off Coronation Street, Bake Off and the brilliant All Killer No Filler podcast. There'll be food and you should totally bring your own stuff to eat and we can all eat together and chat about our scoffings. Can you imagine? Please go to manchesterpodcastfestival.com and if you look at that and worry that you'd love to come but you can't afford it, then please message me on Twitter or anywhere else and let's talk. Sorry for blathering on, let's get back to the good stuff.
The worst one, I haven't looked it up because I don't want to know, but my boyfriend watches loads of stuff and reads loads of stuff,
right,
and then he tells me some things.
Yes.
So but my favorite all time ever has been prawns. I could have just eaten a packet of prawns. I've done that on many meals, just a packet of prawns.
Apparently
I don't know if this is true, so apparently they cut the eyes off the female prawns when they're making them in captivity, however you say that.
Farming.
There we go, there's the word. because it makes them breed more. So then they breed more.
Because they can't see if they fancy the other prawn.
Well, less distractions. And then the eyes grow back and then they just cut them off again. I don't know whether that's true or whether...
Yeah.
But those kind of stories... It's like, yeah, it's just, you know, I'll stick to my lettuce.
That's amazing.
I don't know if that's true.
That sounds so awful.
I don't
want to
know. Because he's Russian,
I think
so
I really
he watches weird stuff sometimes.
He watches Russian documentaries about
cutting
off prawn eyes.
He watches all kinds of Russian stuff. And
cutting
you can't
off women's
check.
He's watching prawn Handmaid's Tale. That's what they're meant. That's what's coming out of Russian,
yeah, exactly.
Russia's
they make
Channel
them
4.
Little red bonnets.
It does sound a bit like that awful, yeah, doesn't it? Breeder prawns. As far as I was aware, the worst thing about prawns, rather than... I don't know how clever they are or anything like that. Like, I don't know how much evidence... evidence that fish feel pain.
Yeah, well, Blue Planet, where they're, you know, they've got personalities. Yeah. No, I don't want them to be individual fish.
Stop it, stop... Knocker feeding. I want to eat you.
Yeah,
yeah. That was amazing, wasn't it? The Last Blue Planet.
Really good.
But I don't know that. How? I mean, if someone's listening and they know whether prawns feel pain, I'd be interested to know that. But just environmentally, I think lots of them now are either farmed
with antibiotics.
Yeah, and I don't know whether there's other environmental. It's just another type of farming in terms of all the stuff that's emitted and things. But they have to inject omega-3 into fish that's farmed. So that it's anywhere near as healthy as it
would be. You know, it always changes all the advice, and now they reckon, or they're not sure, but the benefits of eating fish might not be anything to do with the fish. It might just be because people are eating fish, they're not eating meat for a meal.
Right.
And the benefits of not eating meat for a meal, health-wise, that could just be... So they've, like, just rubbished all the omega-3 pills that people have been taking in terms of, like, being good for your heart.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've just done a massive study.
I was just reading something the other day that how good omega-3 for our brains is.
Well, who's paid for it? That's the thing. It's, like, all these things. It's, like, is it paid for the dairy industry? Is it paid for... You know, I mean, am I being paid now? Am I? I am buying my veg. I'm not in collusion.
Full disclosure, no one's paying me to be completely unsure what's going on in the world in this podcast week after week.
Exactly.
Constantly reassessing my own dietary choices.
No, I know that I was ill before and I'm not, so I'm happy.
Take it.
And if anyone cares about that, then that's their problem because I'm going to eat what I want to eat.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes cheesecake is in front of you and you kind of have to.
And it just take a few days of being ill. I know lots of people that do that. They'll be like, do you know what? Look, I'll deal with this tomorrow, literally.
Yeah. I've had a couple of cocktails. Yeah. That mascarpone.
Right.
Looks good, but I can't remember the last time I cheated, actually. When I went to Russia. I was bad in Russia.
Yeah.
I was bad in Russia. Because I love travelling. I love eating food and tasting traditional stuff. And it's one of the best things. So in Russia, I did have. But then
tell me what you ate in Russia.
I'm Russia.
Or tell me some of the things you've eaten in Russia generally.
Well, it was the first time I went, but my boyfriend's Russian.
Yeah.
So I've heard about the food, and there's a Russian shop down the road, and his mum's cooked stuff, and he's cooked stuff. So their famous dish is borscht, which has, like, beef stock and, like, hot beetroot soup and... Oh, the best.
And there's a yogurt in it too, isn't there?
You can put sour cream in it. Like afterwards, they put sour cream in everything. Sour cream and mayonnaise in everything. but something that is really tasty that would make me, like, probably more than cheesecake want to cheat is it's called herring in a fur coat. So it's like a mayonnaise salad with grated carrot. It sounds horrible, but it's so good. Carrot, beetroot, onion, egg, and herring, and it's kind of like a layered salad.
Oh wow!
It's so good. I love it.
What's the herring like? Is it really salty? Or is
no,
it just really fishy.
It's like I don't know if it's cured or if it's pickled or no, it's probably not pickled. I don't know. It's just terrible.
Just really good. Just
really good.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they have pickles. I mean, you can. Silly, so they have pickles with everything, and they have like soups that are naturally vegan, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, because you can do borscht without the beef stock, can't you?
Yeah, yeah, we did the other day. He made some, that's great.
Did you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's so healthy as well.
And it's so good when you do soups or casseroles, you just do a massive pot and then you're done for the week.
Yeah, also, of all the things, I'm not very good at growing stuff, but beetroots feels in the British climate quite easy to cook.
I guess that's why the
to
Russians.
To grow, sorry. Must, yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
They've got a crap climate, haven't they?
Herring in a fur coat.
Herring
I'm writing
in a fur
it down.
Coat. I tweeted a picture of it and someone was like saying, telling me how cruel fur coats are. Yeah, like, pigs in blankets aren't, you know, you shouldn't eat blankets either. I kind of miss that.
Oh, there's always going to be someone with an opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree, fur coats are bad.
Yep.
Don't eat them.
Yeah, but definitely don't wrap them around a fish salad. My word.
Yeah.
So you're a wizard at maths, obviously.
Sometimes.
Always. Thanks. I think maths is so hard. Once you introduce a letter into maths, that was the point at which it broke my brain, and you've gone way beyond
that. But
you
probably do it without realising. Like, people are... Like, it's my big thing. People that like, you didn't say, so you're great. Like, people say I'm crap at maths, and they're really happy, and they're proud, but you wouldn't say I can't read.
That's so true!
But I think, like, you say you can speak English, but you wouldn't know every word in the dictionary, but I think people, they're just a bit intimidated by maths.
Yeah.
And, like, you can do some maths, I'm sure. Yeah. You can probably...
Of course.
You know, of course you can. You do it every day. But it's just that thing of saying, I can do it, or, like, actually going back and trying.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you did try...
That's
you've
true,
got a
two-year-old
actually. Now. You're going to have to relearn.
Exactly. And that, I can't say I'm excited about it. But actually, I'd be fascinated by the challenge of various bits of his work, which I... Because when he gets to school and he's doing stuff at school, I'm actually really excited about seeing whether I can cope or not and up to what point.
But it's actually quite good if you're not quite sure because you're learning at the same pace and you can ask the same questions.
Well, actually, I thought I might... I don't know, I mean, this is very optimistic, but there's stuff that I didn't enjoy at school, but I'm fascinated by now, including maths and science. Mm-hmm. They weren't my strong fields at school, but I would love maybe to go back and study those things again alongside him, but that, I imagine he'll get to that age and that would be the last thing that he would want. I also remember every time a parent tried to help me with my studies on those fronts, I found them infuriating. Mm, how dare they try and be helpful. But because of your maths brains, does that make you quite a precise person when it comes to eating and cooking? Are you like a recipe follower?
I used to be a recipe follower.
Just see what happens.
Yeah. You know what? I used to be a recipe follower.
Right.
And I wouldn't ever think of making up my own thing.
Right.
Ever. But because of the Russian, and he's just like, I'll just put this in here and I'll shove this in and he couldn't care less. And because now we get the veg boxes and you just get given whatever you get given, we'll just make any kind of crap. Just shove it all in a pot.
Perfect.
Some kind of stock. And it will generally make some kind of nice soup.
Excellent.
That's the worst that can happen. I mean, it always looks appalling. And we don't have people around for dinner much.
Yeah.
I think that's where the pressure comes in. If you're inviting someone around formally for food, then that's quite stressful.
A bit frightening.
I still like a one pot thing. And I can't eat cakes and stuff, so I don't really do... I think that's good, though, because if I did, I'd be the one eating it. Should be dangerous.
I've got a really good vegan carrot cake recipe I can pass on.
See,
I wish I'd made it for you now.
Does it have cream cheese? Because cream cheese is the best bit.
Vegan cream cheese.
Vegan cream cheese.
Yep. With lots of lemon.
I'm listening.
Yeah. I mean, it's full of carrots. It can't be that bad for you.
No. Well, once in a while.
Yeah.
Let's go for a cycle. Or not.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
I was going to ask about Strictly in terms of, do you have to like eat like an athlete when you're doing something like that? Because you're behaving like an athlete in terms of physically.
No, I mean, it's all...
Is it up to you?
Yeah, I mean, at that point he would buy... Once he bought a box of chocolates... And he'd eaten them before we got to rehearsals. It was that ridiculous. So yeah, we did have a lot of chocolate. But yeah, I don't think you can eat what you like, really.
Sometimes you didn't then become like pasta and eggs.
I was eating veggie, and then I just was like, I'm tired, I'm knackered, I need some energy, and went and I had 3 steaks in a week.
Nice.
And it's just that I was getting rid of all the crap. I wasn't eating the cheese bakes and everything that was making me feel rotten. So that was out the window, and there was a lot of beef in that phase.
It must be interesting to be having to keep such a constant eye, I suppose, actually. I don't know whether that's a relief. It sounds like it's a relief. It could be a stress, I think, to be like having to constantly think about what's in everything that you eat. But it sounds like maybe it's a relief it's just to like, have been
I just
given.
Was quite ill, and it got worse and worse and worse. And I missed half a year of school when I was about 8 because I was so ill with food. And at that point, I was eating stuff, getting ill, like vomiting for days until it was all out of my system. I couldn't even watch adverts with food on. And then I'd get better, and then I'd go back to school, eat food again, and get ill again. It was like a big cycle. And I remember then was the first time I was like, doctors don't know everything, because my mum took me to the doctor and they said, oh, she's probably stressed.
When you were 8, they gave you that excuse.
It might be because she's worrying, like arguing with her brother, take her to a psychiatrist. And luckily my mum like sought another opinion, and it just turned out everything I was eating was making me ill.
Yeah.
And I cut it out, and then got to the point where I was like in the car crying, because it's really socially awkward, especially when you're a kid and everyone's eating and you have to be the weirdo that can't eat this, that and the other. And 25 years ago, they like weren't the options that you get now. It was like soda bread just tasted like salt and water. It was just disgusting.
Yeah.
And I couldn't swallow pills because I was little, so my mum would like have to wrap it up in smoked salmon all the but I got better, and then I could like gradually introduce stuff. And then when I was like 20, it kind of happened again, but more slowly.
Right.
And for 10 years or so,
yeah,
it was like getting worse and worse and worse. And then it was like, oh god, like why didn't anyone suggest this before? Like you go to the doctor, and especially when you've got a history of this kind of thing. I just thought food intolerances and IBS was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that I was like filling my body with so much stuff, and it was having to work so hard to digest it.
Yeah,
it had like given up, and it was putting so much energy into that. So I can tolerate a bit now because like my body's so much stronger. But
right, so it's just a case of giving yourself a break, like generally giving yourself a break. And then it's kind of whatever.
I kind of had to take responsibility for my own health at that point, rather than because you go to the doctor and they say you have IBS, you are stressed. Here's a list of stuff you should eat, and it's like fruit and yogurt, and it's like really not the stuff I should have been eating.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably change my mind again in a few years, but for now.
It sounds like you've got it nailed.
I'm a lot better than I was. And you know, whether it's perfect or not perfect, if it's better than how you were then.
Oh, I think perfect is an impossible ideal in any sense. Not something that any of us should be aiming for in anything.
I mean, this is great. Right.
Very unambitious.
But it does make you really boring conversation when you have food.
Because I don't think it makes you fascinating conversation.
But this is great. So if anyone asks me anything now, I won't have to have the same conversation with four people. Please listen to this. If you want to argue, shout at the phone. It's fine.
Yeah. One thing I love asking people is tell me something you've eaten out of awkwardness, but it sounds like the list would be epic for you. If you've always had, like, known about some intolerances, but people have been like...
No, but I love food, so I do like eating stuff. See, I don't like trying weird things. I remember we were on a holiday when I was younger in somewhere like Jamaica.
Right.
And my parents, they said it was goat's brain soup. And they were like, oh, very funny. They had it, and I was like, if they'd even said goat's brain soup, I'm not going near it.
Yep.
And it was goat's brain soup.
Were your parents cool with that?
They said it was disgusting. They tried it, and they said it was disgusting. I was like, what's it called? You know, it's goat's brain soup. I'm not interested in that.
No. Absolutely fine never trying a goat's brain.
Yeah, I don't want to try weird things. And even when I was eating meat, I would try and have, like, if you have just a few edibles, then you can look the rest of them in the eye.
Have you got a hangover food, a go-to thing?
I do love avocado. Hummus. I would eat hummus with anything.
Yeah.
Hummus is my new prawns. I can just have a pot of hummus.
Riverford smoked hummus is fit.
It's good. It's good. We've got...
Hummus is my new prawns.
Hummus is my new prawns. So London. So I realise how ridiculous this is.
No.
But hummus is good.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat a bit of stodge, can you? A bit of bread.
So good.
Toast.
Carve it up.
Toast and bread. Toast and hummus. I mean,
yeah.
What do you need?
Perfect.
Sod cordon bleu.
It's true.
But when you work and you're away a lot,
yeah,
and you get, you know, you get fed like Wagamamas or, you know, it's really, it's nice, but you yeah. just want toast and hummus.
Yeah.
Like the simple stuff. Cucumber.
Someone
give me a cucumber.
From their home is missing a trick, not signing up to Deliveroo near to television studios. To just do toast and hummus.
Toast and hummus.
Or cheese on toast for people that
oh, cheese just, on toast. Oh. That's the thing. Vegan cheese doesn't melt.
No. Like, vegan cheese isn't it? An aberration.
Sometimes.
Like, I've gone full circle on this since I started doing... Hello.
Neighbours, sorry.
Yes. That sounded a bit more serious than the picture, didn't it, going up? They, about 6 months ago, I started this, and I think in the first few episodes, I would really have defended vegan cheese. And now I've come full circle now and think, what are we... Don't do that with your life.
Yeah, I mean, 1 in 10 might be all right. A lot of them are just disgusting, and they are really expensive.
They're still prohibitively expensive. Vegan cream cheese, I think they've got nailed.
Yeah, but only I've only found one in one shop that I like.
Right.
And it's Holland and Barrett's, which is like, if I'm walking home from Oxford Street, then I can get it. Otherwise, I can't.
Fair enough.
Because a lot of them just go straight in the bin.
I don't know what the brand is. I need to look up the brand. There's one brand that's really good. That
is it in a round pot?
Holland and Barrett's in a round pot.
Yeah, they
got,
do like
it's got like
a
medieval.
Well.
Yeah, and it's got like medievally writing.
Yeah,
style.
That's the one. That's the one I like. Oh, that's the only one that's good.
Yeah, that is good. But then I don't care about cream cheese that much. There's
you've mentioned carrot cake now.
Sorry. Yeah.
And that might work.
Yeah, that might. It is. I'm sending you
it's
that
dangerous.
Recipe. I'm writing down some carrot cake recipe. Corrupt. Delicious.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You talked about being really ill when you were, even when you were 8, but like, what about growing up? Did you, I don't mind drilling next door when they make it sound, that almost sounded like, that almost sounded like they were doing it in, either in rhythm to some dance music, or... It sounded like that. It sounded a bit like
you,
a fart.
You've really put a positive spin on that.
I have. I'm giving that drill a real personality. Did you grow up in Essex?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you had some cool holidays.
Yeah, my parents have taken us away like once a year. And they love travelling. And now my dad's retired and they love it. They go on cruises and see here, there and everywhere. But they're not foodies at all.
Really?
So they would quite happily, like when we were growing up, they would go to a pub that just reheats stuff and be perfectly happy with that.
Really?
It's just so the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm a massive snot. I wouldn't, even when I was a kid, I was like, why are we eating this? We can just buy a microwave stuff and eat it at home if we want to eat crap. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I'm a massive snob about that. I'm just not interested. But my dad's from Salford. They're just not into food. They'll eat it because it's there.
They're still not fussed.
Not really.
Even in retirement.
Not really. I mean, they're
brave
they're
enough
like
to have
that.
A goat's brains soup.
That was kind of... They thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. But, I mean, my nan, she's up in Salford, and I remember once... Oh, I mean, she's her cooking. Like, we've gone through her cupboards before, and she'll have like 10-year-old mincemeat, you know, the fruit, and it's like black stuff oozing out, and it's really out of date. And she's like, no, keep it in the cupboard. It's like, we haven't needed it for 10 years. Why would you? And she did things like, if I'd go up and see her in Manchester, she made steak once, but she got the day wrong, so she made it the day before and just left it on the pan.
That's like something out of a really good horror sketch. Like, I like
grandma's cooking.
Yeah. Bit League of Gentlemen, isn't it? The idea of turning. I had an Austrian nana who would do similar things, but hers was all about waste avoidance.
Yeah.
So she would just feed us lots of really out of date stuff. Well, so like she'd say, you'd be having a coffee or tea, and she, you know, at tea in the mid afternoon, she loved feeding you.
Yeah.
But she said, would you like a bicky or a cake with that? And you'd say, yes, please. And then she'd bring in mince pies, and you'd be like, it's October.
Oh no.
And they'd be like. They'd be like rocks.
It's a different age, though, from, isn't it? That's going to be the only excuse. She wants, you know, when potatoes start smelling like the garden?
Yeah.
Like when they're just gone.
When they're ready, actually, to, like, probably plant from the eyes of.
And they've got, there is, like, some poison that potatoes make when they're there. Anyway, I was like, can I just buy some potatoes? I'll spend money and buy some potatoes. And she got out of this, like, cutting from the sun or something that she'd kept that said you can eat out-of-date food. And I made a stir fry for her once, and I had some garlic.
Yeah.
She'd never seen garlic before.
Wow. Like, so how long ago was that?
That was, like, maybe 7 years ago. It was...
amazing.
Yeah, she just... And she was,
had
like,
she ever stir fry before?
I don't know, I doubt it. It's probably foreign food, isn't it?
Yeah.
But she didn't. She was like, she just put it in. I was like, oh, no, you have to chop, peel it, and take that off, and then chop it. And she didn't know.
In a way, it makes me think. We're so privileged to be of an age where we've always had that stuff going on. I grew up in Dorset. We had a Chinese takeaway and an Indian takeaway, but neither were very good.
Yeah.
But now there are good ones in that town, in Swanage, where I grew up. But they. It wasn't, I don't know, I just feel like very lucky to, and now live in London where we've got access to everything.
We are really spoiled. It is totally different too.
And I've just been in Spain, and my mum was like, we have to have tapas in Spain, we have to have tapas one day. And like, a little bit of me, like an absolute wanker, was thinking, I could get amazing in London Bridge. Like, you know, you think,
but we do, you know, because you get so much food in London, and we love trying stuff. But we went to Sri Lanka this summer and we hadn't had Sri Lankan food before, and that's opened up a whole new world of,
it's supposed to be incredible.
It's, I've got so some friends good at the moment. So the best thing, we went to we did like a little village tour, but the best part was you get taken to these ladies, like a couple of village ladies in like a mud building. So like, it was like waist high mud walls, and then thatched roofs that they thatched themselves, and like open walls. And they made, they have their national dishes, like this vegetable curry thing, but they have like 9 different dishes, and they made it in front of us, down to having a coconut, like getting the stuff off the coconut, chopping it up, grating the coconut on this little stool thing with a coconut grater. They had the rice, they bashed the rice in the husks, and then they shake it up to get rid of the husk dust. And
they even unhusk the rice in front of you.
It was amazing. And then the food, it's just like every different colour, every different spice. So, so good.
Sounds
and
incredible.
It's like dirt cheap over there.
Yeah.
Like, these ladies, they spent, I think they said the whole thing took them an hour to make for like 9 different dishes. And then we said, you know, how much is it? And it was the equivalent of £3.75 each.
No.
And obviously we gave them like loads more.
Yeah. Oh my god, and you get to watch the whole ritual as well.
So now we just make like sambal and dal and stuff. It's really, really tasty.
What's sambal?
Sambal is, so they grate the coconut, and then, I didn't even know this, they were making the coconut milk. So all you do, they have the grated coconut that they just grated.
Yeah.
And then you just run water in it, and then you squeeze the coconut out, and that's how you get coconut milk.
That's coconut milk. Like, squeezed
it's so
coconut
obvious,
water.
But I would never know. It's like, no, you just buy it in a tin in the shop.
How do you get coconut cream?
I think you probably just
similar, but with more coconut to water ratio.
I think so, yeah.
This is fascinating.
I know, it blows your mind, doesn't it?
But also, what I love about it is that a brilliant comedian, a lovely man called Andrew Bird, has got a really funny bit about, I don't like the thought of someone milking an oat.
Yeah,
actually, someone, lots of people, it sounds like, or lots of factory machines are
they
are physically milking
the
coconuts.
Just like squeezing out the milk. You know, and that's it.
I don't think I could live without coconut milk. I think that would be a real hindrance to a planty life. I think that I cook with it a lot.
Coconut milk?
Yeah.
But that's, what do you mean?
No, it's great. It's great. I just love that. Yeah. Just having an intimate moment talking about...
when I was younger and couldn't have milk, the only option was goat's milk.
Right.
And some of them taste like goat, some of them taste okay, but...
I've never even sipped it, you know, because it smells so much like goat.
No, not all of them do, and it's the same with... like these milks now, all the different nut milks. Some of them are still disgusting and some of them are really nice. You have to find the right one.
But, I'm all about oat milk, that barista Oatly one coffee. And then I don't mind any of the others.
But they used to, like, they didn't have them when I was young. And having, like, in coffee, kind of, they all taste nice.
Yeah.
But in cereal, so like goaty cereal.
No, thank you.
And some of the... some of the cardboard nut milk just tastes like cardboard.
Even just soy goes all bitty. Goes all bitty, and I can't remember if it's tea or coffee.
And then you give it to someone, like the builders come around. I've only got this milk. This is okay.
You can hear their eyes rolling. I love it.
Oh, but sambal. So
yeah,
you do the coconut, like squeeze it all out, and then she got some onion, garlic, tomatoes, and chili, and like just. Like rolled them on this stone thing until they were a pulp, and then just mix all the coconut in, and it goes on top of curry and rice. It's so good.
Oh my god! So really you use it almost like a sprinkle, but it's got tons of
flavour. It's just got loads of flavour, and it's got a good texture.
Is it like a paste or crumbs?
It's more like just like crummy coconut with all the colours and flavours in it, and lemon in it as well. And but it was really fun just to watch them.
Incredible.
And we went back. We went back 3 times.
Oh yes, I love it.
And each time they made different curries with all the different fruits and vegetables.
And where in Sri Lanka was that? Were you moving around?
We were in Sigiriya for that bit. So we love wildlife, so we went over there to see the wildlife. And that's like the cultural triangle. And we had a driver and suggesting all these things, and we were like, we didn't do anything cultural particularly.
Yeah.
We just went for food.
Yeah.
And we went and saw
eating
a little bird.
Animals.
Yeah.
Oh, love it.
It was great.
God, I feel, to me, so I've never been to Sri Lanka, and it feels like this magical place. I have some friends who go quite regularly, but they always stay in a villa that's essentially someone's home, and you have more to have, and it's very, run down, and it looks like something out of, that Marigold Hotel film. Like, it's really flimsy and ramshackle, but basically the food is amazing, and obviously the climate's incredible. Nice. And
because they're mostly Buddhist.
Right.
A lot of the country's vegetarian anyway, so they've just got really good fruit and veg and veggie curries.
Sounds off the charts.
It was nice as well going to Asia, because I've been to a few different countries, and quite often, so they say, this animal is endangered because these set of people all eat it.
Yeah.
But that was one of the first places where, a lot of the wildlife isn't endangered because of the people.
Yeah.
Because they've got a totally different attitude.
Amazing. And not being poached or anything.
Well, in some places, there was a civil war on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still a lot different to a lot of the other countries you go to.
Amazing. Especially if you're going to the country to see wildlife, I guess, actually, where tourism industry has to rise up to sort of counter all of problems.
Yeah,
causing
stuff. Yeah, I think it's coming through there now because they've had civil war. So now, the country's trying to change the wildlife and et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, God, it's so fascinating.
It was cool.
Oh, I love it. What was the most amazing animal beast you saw?
There, we saw a bear.
Wild bear.
Wild, yeah. Right by there. And I was so excited.
Is it a big one?
Yeah. It was definitely a boy.
Right.
We were on safari. And when you're sometimes you can see nothing for ages and ages and ages. And we went first thing on the last day because it was to see leopards, because they have loads of leopards there. And we hadn't seen any. All the other people in our... coming and going from our camp had seen a leopard every day, and we hadn't seen a leopard, and it was called a leopard trail, so that's what it was. So we want to see a leopard and a bear, and normally they see an elephant, it's over there and or whatever, you get the binoculars out. And we were just driving down this road, the first ones in the park for the day, and we'd driven past it, and three boys didn't see it, and I just went, bah! I couldn't even say the word bear, and you're supposed to be really quiet, and I was just like, bah! We just reversed up, and this bear was hugging a tree, what? Yeah, like big claws. It was having, it was having fun with the tree, and just looking at us. And then,
like in Jungle Book, where it's all scratching it on the tree.
It wasn't scratching. I don't know what it was doing, but
it's doing something.
It's just ripped off all his bark because it's got such massive claws. And the boys were taking photos, and I think because of the clicking of the camera, it heard it, and it got aggressive. So it was like, ah.
It was amazing. Did it drive off really fast?
Well, it went off in the end, so you just let it go off. But it was really cool. That was the best thing.
God, that sounds amazing. We've met a real life bear. That's so cool.
I don't know if we met, but yeah, we definitely.
In the wild.
It was right there, though. That's the thing. It wasn't like in the distance, is that a bear? It was like road,
definitely
tree,
a bear. Incredible.
Cool. Yeah, it was good.
I'm in my tum. 5 second rule, yes or no?
Yeah, of course.
There we go, it's a quick one.
Don't even need to discuss that.
Fine, perfect.
I'm not even bothered what floor it is, really.
Me too. I'm exactly the same mind.
Maybe not ice cream.
No. God, good point, actually. Yeah, that would be it. I had, we've just been to Spain, and we got caught in a storm one night. I say caught in it, it was fun, like running on purpose from my mum's camper van to our cabin thing in this storm. And so obviously my son was in his buggy, and I hung out the rain cover. And when it had dried, I noticed that there were these like two dried on slugs of what must have been sweetie of some sort. And it was pink, so it was pretty safe. But I licked it. I did, as I was cleaning it, lick it to check it was a sweet. That's where the 5 second rule. Yeah! That's where the
free candy!
That's where I think perhaps my lack of boundaries on the 5 second rule becomes questionable. Well, on the kind of taste test.
It wasn't on the floor, was it?
No.
Doesn't count.
Yeah. Ooh. Have you ever craved anything really random and specific?
Not really.
Fair enough.
Only just like when you have one, because it's like maybe 1 in 10 things in the vegan department might be good.
Yeah.
And then you're like, there's like a salted caramel brownie that they do in some market somewhere that I didn't. For some stupid reason, didn't take a photo of who these people were.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, where's the brownie?
Where was that? Just thinking about it all the
where
time.
Where can I get these
like
brownies?
Longing nostalgia for the great salted caramel vegan brownie manufacturer.
Yeah.
If it might be you and you're listening, get in touch. We miss you. Please. It's so funny, isn't it, with stuff like that? The little attachments you get to stuff when you realise you can have them and you have something new.
Really,
I like the discovery of Mildred's. Chain of vegetarian
restaurants.
What's
the other one? Tibbits.
Tibbits is great. I get little crushes on places and then just want to go there all the time.
But then we have been going first Thursday of every month, Brick Lane. There's a vegan night together.
No.
So it's like vegan junk food.
Everywhere.
It's amazing.
Nice.
And they do one of them, I can't remember what they're called either, but they do these jackfruit deep fryer burgers. It's like, it just tastes like proper junk food.
And
sometimes you just want proper junk food, and they do. That is good.
Manchester, I feel like, is nailing it on the vegan junk food side.
They've got V-Revs, the burgers.
Yeah, have you been there?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Their burgers are actually good. And right next to, so we film Media City, right next to Media City, there's Grindsmith's Coffee Place.
Right.
They do the best vegan cooked breakfast.
Wow.
And the best coffee in Manchester, I reckon. And it's right next to the studio. It's amazing.
Brilliant.
Really, really good.
Nice.
Like my lunch every
Grind
day.
Sets. I'm going to look it up.
Oh, it's amazing.
Perfect.
It took me a long time since it was open.
It's funny. Do you get that? I find when I have a place like, you find somewhere like that, it sort of pains me a bit to tell anyone. You don't want every bastard in there. You do.
I do.
You do. We do. We want them to have to open a bigger second. We want them to do very well. Wish you well, Grindsmiths. 42 super bees, which could re-bee our entire bee drought with their kind, if lusty, ways, is discovered, but they're trapped underneath a giant car. Everyone else is too far away, so it's left to you to lift it up and free them. There's a jack, but it's really old fashioned and requires like good old fashioned leg pumping, and the car's so big that I'll only lift the front up and you need to lift the back up too. But luckily you've got a huge inflatable flamingo which will lift the back up, but it means, because time is of the essence, that you need to leg pump while simultaneously huffing up the flamingo to full flamingo, and that takes hours and hours of whole body wazzicking, but you do it. Hey. You're a hero. You saved the bees. You're allowed a shower or whatever it is you need to feel happy and composed again. You don't have to stay in that state, but you're totally, you're knackered and starving, and your reward is the feast of your dreams. You can have whatever you like. Ethics aside, should you wish
that's
it.
That's the thing.
Reality aside, it doesn't even need to be something that's available. It could be something from the future. And the same rules, which is rules in terms of dead or alive, apply to. So I want to know what you're eating, what you're drinking, who with, and where. And they don't have to be a real person
No, I mean, I'd choose my other half, because if you're not choosing your other half to have your last meal with, or, like, your favourite meal, then what are you with them? So I think I'll take your trick and go to the future, because that's the thing. I don't miss anything that I don't eat now, but I remember how good certain things were.
Yeah.
So I'd have them in the future where they can make, you know,
make it synthetic in a way that won't make you ill.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'd have everything. I think... lasagna you can't replace. Like, we used to have this pub in Manchester, we used to go for proper, like, not microwave lasagna, proper lasagna.
Wow.
It was amazing. Cheesecake, my mum's banoffee pie.
Nice.
Actually, I got really into, like, cheese boards since I can't eat cheese. I never liked cheese before, and now when you go went to France and they just bring out this tray of cheese and you're like, oh, Christ, that's amazing. And I think the best thing is a wine pairing.
Nice.
Like, I mean, like, proper treat. It's like a wine. I love it when people... I love it when you haven't got to decide anything. Yeah. So they just bring you food and bring you wine. And
so a wine menu where you just basically get a tiny glass, or you get a proper glass of, like, eight wines, including dessert wine.
Dessert wine's the best.
That I never cared about until my 30s. And now suddenly... my foodiest friends, my swankiest food friends, who are...
Yeah.
My senseis on that front, all my sort of uni birds, they've taught me a thing or two in the last few years about a good dessert wine.
Yeah.
My word.
I love it. But we went to this one place in Bali that was recommended. It's a place called Mosaic.
Nice.
And it was outdoors, like, under the stars, and it was all local ingredients. Like, and they bring out this big, like, platter of fruit and vegetables. You don't know what anything is, basically.
Wow.
And I like food, and I tried it, because I still didn't know what half this stuff was. But really good cooking.
Mm.
And it was one of those, like, little tasting menus. So you get loads of little dishes that the chef brings, and, like, wine that went with it. And I had, like, the 5-glass wine thing.
Yeah.
Pasha had about 8. Honestly, I had to carry him to the cab afterwards. But it was, like, under the stars. Amazing chefs, all local food. That was amazing.
Heaven.
Scrapple the rest of it. I'd have that.
Heaven.
I don't want to choose.
Oh, that gets spoken about a surprising amount on this podcast.
Not
surprising. Yeah, the joy of giving control.
Yeah.
Of not, you know, of just doing. It's nice. It's like being a kid again. It's nice, except with wine.
Yeah. It's always better.
So you'd be in this place in Bali. What's it look like?
It was outdoors, so there's loads of trees, and there were, like, fairy lights hanging from the trees, but it was still nice tables and everything. And then I kind of think it had, like, a kind of an open kitchen on one side.
Nice.
And then it started raining halfway through, so they did move you to, like, the open walled indoor bit. It was one of the best meals. Oh, it was so good. We loved that place. Yeah, in a bud. It was good.
Bring it on.
Huge thanks to the amazing Rachel. Hummus is the new prawns, Riley. Pretty sure that nickname's going to catch on. She's on the Instagram as @RachelRileyRR. She's always up to exciting work, and she wanted me to give a shout out to her awesome stylist as well, Jennifer Michalski-Bray. Please tell everyone you can contact on the internet and in your lives about this smelly podcast. It does us wonders. We're on all the socials as @TheHooveringPod. Rate, review and subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Follow me too, @ Jessica Fosterkew. If you'd like to email me, you can do it through my website, jessicafosterkew.com. I love it loads when you get in touch. And my patrons, an extra thank you to you. You are my lifeblood. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.